As Andrew said in his testimony, our young people said verses, and they said all the verses for the whole week. Some of them even did it by Monday, and they do verses a little bit different there. They make you say the same verses every night before you can start saying new verses, and that kind of hides their word in the heart. Sometimes a young person can look at a verse, say it five or six times, and just spit it out, but they try to make it on purpose to make sure they retain in their heart too. We did have junior campers the week before that. I did not know this up until just recently that Allison Bateman was a camper of the week that week at junior camp. So I would have mentioned that last week if I would have known that. So that was junior camp, teen camp. They had a great time. Thankful for all the things I've heard, and thankful for the testimonies tonight. I am thankful for those who went. 10 hours on a van can be a little bit hard. I always enjoy the van ride, but the young people sometimes get tired, they get cranky, they get grouchy, but they usually have fun. So thankful for those young people that went. I encourage all young people to go. It's a great time just to let God work on your heart and work on your mind. We're going to get Nehemiah chapter number 8. We're going to continue on in our series in the book of Nehemiah, and tonight the title of the message is Building by the Book. Building by the Book. When I was preparing my message out there, I opened up three different documents because I copy and paste different illustrations and different points from different places. And I went through to delete two of the other two that I didn't really need, and I accidentally deleted my message. So that was about 5:30. I called Mr. Cartwright up and said, "Mr. Cartwright, is there any way to get it back?" And he says, "If you didn't save it, then it went to what was it called? Something Heaven. it's gone. So that's okay. So, but the Lord, like I said, I just spent the last 20 minutes, I guess, working through that. And I told one church member about before church, and she told me, "Just preach what you preached last week. Nobody will remember." Can you believe that? And she's a Sunday school teacher, so we won't tell you who, but I think she was joking. So building by the book. In Nehemiah chapter number 8, we saw last week and we explained to you the first six chapters of the book was about building the wall. Next six chapters is about building the people. Last week we looked at the idea the wall was finished and Nehemiah was placing different godly spiritual leaders, and we talked about determining to be a spiritual leader. We spoke about how that was fearing God above many, talked about being faithful, and then we continued on about talking about we want to be safe, and we talked about wanting to be supportive of the ministry. Here in chapter number 8, you see something interesting coming. The group of the people came all together and they asked Ezra to read the law. And that's pretty neat that people come and say, "Here, look, we want you to read the Bible. We want you to read the Word of God." And you see something special happens. I don't know if they were expecting or anticipating what's going to happen here, because many of these people are people who have been taken over in the Babylonian captivity. They had came back and they weren't too familiar with the law. And I don't know they expected for God to work on their heart and work on their minds so much that you'll see that they are end up weeping. And even next week, if we look at it, they fast and they have a personal revival, a purification. Man, God just works. We live in a day and time where people think programs is going to make a difference. And there's nothing wrong with programs. People think that maybe in America, they think a new program, a new entitlement, a new political figure is going to fix everything. The reality of it is, in churches today, sometimes people think that a better program or a different ministry or another staff member or a different pastor is going to make all the difference in the world. But I'm convinced that while other people are looking for different avenues and different ways, God is looking for better people. God is looking for people he can build. Just as he built those walls, God can build people also. And tonight, they give a priority in the Word of God in chapter number 8 that's special. And I like to look at six different things that is a priority, that they make a priority in the Word of God. We're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 12. I'll give you a little bit of a commentary along with those verses. And then we'll look at these six different things about how to make the Word of God a priority. Remember, God is trying to build people, and I think here at Faith Baptist Church, this is what we should be doing, is rising up and building and giving the opportunity to build ourselves in the fear of God and to grow as Christians. Chapter 8, verse number 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Now, what does that mean? That means that they all came and they all had the same mindset. They all had the same purpose. They were thinking alike into the street that was before the water gate. Now, back when we went through the gates, we talked about the water gate, and it's just a representation of the flowing of the word of God. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now I want you to remember that, morning time to midday. You're looking at 6 hours that they listened to the law to be preached and taught. 6 hours. Don't hear anybody say that I'm preaching too long, okay? 6 hours, okay? And they heard about that guy saying it was a 3-hour message or 4.5 hours a day. 6 hours a day that they listened. It's until midday. Before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people, look at Nick's phrase, were attentive unto the book of the law. Not only did they stay there for 6 hours, they listened on purpose. Let's keep on going. It says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. It's kind of interesting. He actually stood up on the pulpit, it sounds like. Imagine if I stood on top of the pulpit. That'd be kind of... I've been in services where I've seen preachers stand on the pulpit, but I don't think you're going to see me do that. So, and it says, Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood... And there's a bunch of names there I'm going to mispronounce anyway, so we'll just go down to verse number 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Kind of interesting here in verse number 7. You see there's a group of men here, and once again, all those different names. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now, remember, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, but a lot of these people have only grown up in Babylon. They might not understand it. But also, not only that, they would have Levites, and they had instructors that Ezra would read a portion of the book of the law, and then they would take small groups, and that this gentleman's responsibility is to explain it, to help them understand it. So that's what you see. It's kind of like a tag team preaching. Ezra would read for a little while, and then these groups of men, the 13 that were mentioned in the earlier verses, and these men right here would take the time to help the people understand the word of God. Verse number 8, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, the way that they could understand it on purpose. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Once again, they understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tishmatah, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is a holy day unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. It seems like hearing the law and having it explained to them caused the people to weep and mourn because how they've fallen short. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is a holy day unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled the people, stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, we've been talking about building. We talk about building with perseverance, with preservation. We've talked about building with patience. We talk about building according to your plan. And Lord, seeing the need to build. But Lord, we see how you want to build our lives. You want us to grow. Lord, help us to do it by the book. Help us to do it by your word. Help us to see the priority that was made on this day and the difference that was made in these people's lives. And Lord, teach us, show us, give us instruction. Lord, help us to understand the things that are being said. And Lord, inspire us to make your word a priority in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So here, there's six different things. We're going to move quickly through them. The first thing I want you to see is they made the word of God a priority because they desired to hear God's word. They desired to hear God's word. Could you imagine this? You know, if you're a preacher and, you know, a huge group of people, a mass of people come and they all come up and they say, here, will you take the Bible and preach to us? I mean, will you just preach the law and just let it go? And you just sit there, and we're willing to stand here for 5-6 hours at a day just so you could hear, so we could hear the Word of God preached and the Word of God taught. I tell you, most preachers would be like, wow, this is exciting. This is great. There's a desire to hear God's work. And they came together, as you saw, as I mentioned, they came together as one people, meaning that they came together for the same purpose. They gathered in one man for that reason. And you know what? God's word is the unifier. He makes everything plain, same playing field, all sinners in need of a Savior. But a sign of a healthy church is someone who has a hunger for the Word of God. Someone who actually has a desire for the Word of God. Someone that gets in front of God and says, God, I need your Word. God, please speak to my heart. Someone who comes to preaching and says, hey, I want to hear the Word of God taught. I want to hear the Word of God preached. Someone who doesn't say, well, give us theatrical things. Give us this. Give us that. No, they said, we want the Word of God. We really want to make a priority in our lives. We got a hunger after the Word of God. How do you get there? Well, you know, sometimes after Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you push away from the table, or maybe you've been at a buffet, you push away from the table and say, I'm never going to eat again. I don't know if you've ever said that before. I've never said that before. I've heard other people, because I know no matter how full I am, I'm still going to want to eat. So that's. But I've heard other people say that, oh, I'm stuffed, I'm never going to eat again. See, the Word of God is completely different. That's physically full. Spiritually, as you get into the Word of God and as God speaks to your heart, the hunger comes. The more you learn, the more you read, the more you study, the more you understand, the greater thirst that you have for it. You know, there's a growing trend in our in churches today, in Christian churches today, that says, hey, look, we don't need to have a midweek service. Hey, look, we don't need to have a Sunday night service. We don't need the Word of God. We just need the one service. No, see, that the sign of a healthy church is someone says, we need the Word of God. We need it on a regular basis. They were hungry for the Word of God. That's why it was a priority. Second thing I want you to see, and I think this is important, is there was an importance placed on understanding the Bible. They weren't just hungry because they knew that it was going to make a difference in their life. They weren't just because they really didn't have experiences. They didn't have a priest that was reading this. Many years ago when they were sitting there in captivity, they come, this is new. They built the walls. They want to honor God. I think they kind of want to just give him a service here. And they says, okay, all these great things happened. Let's go ahead and come together and just kind of honor God. And they bring the Bible, or bring the Word of God, and said, Ezra, please open up the book of the law. But something happened when they began to preach. Something happened when they began to teach. They began to understand it. Look what it says in verse number 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women. Now, I think it's interesting here. They said both men and women. You know, most other Middle Eastern cultures would leave the women out. Judaism and Christianity has always given a place for the ladies and the women to be able to learn the Word of God, not to preach it, not to teach it, but they will learn the Word of God and understand the Word of God, and all that could hear with understanding. Now, I think this is an interesting phrase, meaning that there are some that could not understand. Now, what I'm thinking here is it's talking about children. And I think this is something that this is a shout out in a sense to the children's ministry. I try to get both my sons to say and give a shout out to my dad instead of saying thank you to be different, but neither one wanted to do it. They were too scared to say that. So it's saying something about the children's ministry here. It's saying, you know, there is a spot and there is an opportunity for our children to learn and be able to understand the Word of God. Now, we still have children come to our church services on Sunday evening. You know, there's other times in our Wednesday nights during the summertime. But there is something to be said to be able to understand the Word of God and to be able to teach and learn it on your own level and learn it on your own preaching. I think children's ministries are important. Now, I know there are some people who believe in the integrative worship where the families come and they stay all together. And I understand that. I know Deuteronomy chapter 6. I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But there's an importance to understanding the Word of God. And that's what, there's an importance that was in place here. There's a priority. It's not just hearing it. It's not just coming to church and saying, okay, I heard the word of God, I'm good. No, it's understanding it. You know, if you come to church and I give you five tips to live a better life, but don't explain the word of God to you, I failed. If you come to church and I entertain you with humor or with anecdotes or captivate you with dramatic stories, you know what? And not explain to you the Bible and the word of God, I failed. If you're impressed with the preacher and the way he speaks, but you don't understand the Bible any better when you leave, you didn't come to church and get what you're supposed to get. You're supposed to, it's the understanding of it. They gave the sense, they explained the word. And as we look here, and you can even take your Bibles and look in verse number 7 also. It talks about how these men, it calls the people to understand the law. And in verse number 12, it talks about how they understood the words. And the Levites, in verse number 11, stilled the people. There was a great emphasis that was placed upon not just hearing and not just desiring it, but understanding the Word of God and understanding the Bible. Now, once again, I think it's great to read through your Bible in a year. I know people who read through the Bible multiple times a year. But if you don't understand what you're reading, you need to take the time to learn and understand, ask God, say, God, I know this is your word. I know I want to be hungry for it. God, I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. And we need to put an emphasis and a hunger on the word of God, but we need to understand what the Bible says and learn from what the Bible says. Say, how do you do that? God will help you. God gives you men to help explain. God gives you other resources to help you explain. And if we're motivated to action or maybe praying a prayer, but we don't understand God's word, we've missed it. It's the Bible that changes lives. It's the Bible that makes the difference. And these people's lives here was changed because they heard the book of the law. The third thing I want you to see here, and I think this is good, in this day and age, they had a respect for the word. They had a respect for the word. Look what it says in verses 5 and 6. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. I think it's cool. Now, I know we don't do that. Sometimes when we have special speakers, they say, well, let's all rise together, all stand for the reading of the word of God. That's where they get that from. They want to reverence the word of God. They want to respect the word of God. Doesn't say Ezra says to them all stand up. These people that were sitting get up and they stand up because they want to show and they understood they were opening the word of God. Their respect for the word of God moved them. They knew that they weren't merely hearing a man speak his own ideas, but they knew that they were hearing the very word of God. The people also remained standing. You go back to verse number 3, you see at the end of verse number 3, it says they were attentive unto the book of the law. I think that's amazing. It was from in the morning to the mid part of the day, and they listened on purpose. They were attentive. They wanted to hear. They were searching. They weren't just saying, hey, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to be here and I'm going to listen. But you know, the preacher goes too long or the preacher's too boring or the preacher's too dry or if it's not something I think I need, I'm just going to tune it out, and I'm going to count how many tiles are in the ceiling. You might think that's kind of sad, but I bet you there's some people in this room that knows how many tiles are on the ceiling because they've spent the time counting. I've been a kid before. I know what it is, but they were attentive. They were attentive. They listened on purpose. They were desiring. They know they needed to hear it, and they stood and they listened for 5 or 6 hours. I know that young people talked about long services, but can you imagine if you had to stand up and listen to it? But they were respectful of it. They wanted to hear the word, and they listened on purpose. We should remain steadfast in our listening. They not only did they assemble, not only did they ask, they were attentive. Let me help you a little bit with something. You're never going to have revival in your heart if all you can think about is where you're going to go out to eat after church. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's important to eat after church. And I know sometimes that's what we think about, but if that's what's on your heart, you're never going to get it. If you're more interested in who's winning the football game or the basketball game while church is going on, you know what? You're never going to have revival. If you're more worried about what somebody else is wearing or someone else said or why this happened or why that happened, you know, when they opened up the Word of God, when they opened up the book of God, there was something that was a respect that happened. They stood up and they said, you know what? While that book is read and while that book is being spoken about, I'm going to stand and I'm going to listen. I'm not going to worry about if I have a casserole in the oven at home. I'm not going to worry about what this person, why they are walking out the door. Let me encourage you, when the Bible's being opened and read, do your best not to have to leave. And I know some of you people are going to say, well, you don't understand. I understand some people have medical problems where they have to leave to use the restroom. I understand that. I'm not picking on you. And you say, wait till you get old. I understand all that. When the Word of God is open, please do your best, because I'm up here. You know what happens when someone walks out the door? Half the congregation wants to see where they're going. They're going to the door. I mean, you don't need to watch him. They're not going to fall. That's what Wesley's there for. If somebody fell, Wesley would help them. But the whole, everybody's like this. Ooh, I wonder where they're going. They're going to the door. They were attentive to the Word of God. They listened to the Word of God. The Bible was open. You know what they did? They listened to what was being said. I want to encourage you. You know, it's once again, I know that some people have issues and problems, and I know some people wait till the invitation time, and I get that, but you know what? The invitation time is important too. And so we need to make sure that we do our best to not be distracted. You know, we shouldn't be on our phones, right? We shouldn't be looking at other things. When the Word of God is open, it's not because of who's speaking about it. Who's the one that's speaking? It's the respect of the Word of God in the Bible. What does the Bible have to say for me today? Am I being attentive? God, I need to hear from you. God, I want to hear from you. God, please speak to my heart. You're not going to get it if you're not listening. If you're not being, as they said in verse number 3, we're attentive to the book of the law. The fourth thing I want you to see, not only did they have respect for the word, they had respect for the author. Look at verse number 6, what the Bible says here. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Now, you know, how do we bless the Lord? I'm thinking here, and this is just my thinking, and I might be wrong, but I think I got it, is that he's praying. He's you know, before he opens the book, he's overwhelmed with, you know, the temple's been built now, the wall's been built. Everybody comes to hear the word of God to be spoken and preached. And they had the Levites there. They're all ready. I can imagine Ezra's heart is overflowing right now. This is what they've been waiting for. You know, they were in captivity for those 70 years and only a small percentage came back. And they had so long before they finished the temple. It was so long before they finished the walls and it was all done. And they're actually coming and saying, please give us the word of God. Please speak to us. You know what he does? He just blesses the Lord. He praises God. He prays. And you know what? He talks about the great God, and see how the people respond. They say amen. Amen and amen. They see God. They know God is great. They know God, who God is, and they see who they are. I know sometimes people say amen in their church. It means that they agree. Ezra here is blessing God. And you see what they do? They bow down themselves in reverence toward God. Look what it says. And all the people answered amen and amen. And look where they're at. With lifting up their hands and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Man, they got a glimpse of who God was and they got a glimpse of who they were. And you know what happened? All they could do is say, we agree, he is great. We agree, he is holy. And as I said, they respected the word, they were attentive to it. But when Ezra got up to pray to God, they fell on their face and they said, God, I'm unworthy of you. And I don't know about you, but this is what worship is. Seeing who God is, seeing who we are, and realizing that he is worthy of our worship. You know, in the modern day churches today, they make people work up into a frenzy and they get all excited and they get loud and they get this and they get that. But I think lots of times what real true worship is when God speaks to your heart and you say, you know what, Lord, you're right. I agree. Amen. I should change this. Amen. I need to work on this. And it's a special moment in a time when God just speaks to our hearts and we decide and we say, God, you are worth giving this up. God, you are worth me doing this. God, I agree with what the preacher is saying. I agree with what's being prayed. I agree that you are holy and that you're awesome and that you're almighty and that you're all these things and that you're great. And we say amen and amen. That's what I think worship is. I don't think it's having to be loud. I don't think it's having to be worked up. I think there is opportunities to just say, Lord, in this quiet moments, I get so much more out of quiet moments than I do when I'm around a lot of noise and when God speaks to my heart and says, this is what I want. I believe when we come to the preaching and reading of his word, we need not to say, what can I get out of today? And sometimes people come there and it says, okay, I'm looking for something. Hopefully I'll get something out of the message today. Instead, we need to come with a heart attitude, God, I need it all. Everything that your word says, I need to hear it, and I need to apply it all to my life. Fifth thing I want you to see is the people had a proper, I mentioned earlier, respect for God's word. And there are some people who respect God's word, but you also need to have the proper response to God's word too. There are people who I've seen want to keep their Bible clean and neat. I think that's great. Bible is always supposed to be on top. The Bible is respect. It's God's word. When it's open, you better stay quiet. That's all good. But would never respond to what's being said. They have this outside image. Oh, it's all good. But would they ever respond to what's been said? It would take a mighty moving of God for them to actually make a decision in church. They responded to them. They stood in reverence of the Bible. They bowed before God. They got the right respect. They have an understanding of who God is. And now they hear what God has to say. I don't think they were expecting this. I really don't think that they were expecting for God to speak to their hearts and for them to learn this way. I don't think they were going to think at the end of the day that they're going to be there weeping and crying and upset because they were falling short. I think everything was going well. Everything was going good. I think they were expecting just to have a celebration, just to give God some token time. But no, no, no. They came to the spot in this moment that when the book was read, and they understood what the book says. Look at the end of verse number 9. They said, it says, this day is a holy day unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know, I believe that God will always change the hearts of a person that is seeking. I think if you're really truly saying, God, I need everything that you can give me today. Lord, please help me. I know who you are. I know who I am. I need your help. I want to be built by the book. I want to learn. I want to rise up and I want to build. And I need God's word. I need to hunger after it. I need to have the right respect. I need to be attentive to it. Lord, I will respond for what you say. And the result of the preaching here was because of the law, they were guilty. And that is true. Under the law, we're all guilty. The law was our schoolmaster. It showed us, it taught us something that we cannot live a righteous life by ourselves. And they weep because of it. They're like, we've fallen short. Our ancestors are falling short. And they're weeping and they're upset. And it says, and it's interesting here in verse number 10, the Levites, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these different people, they tell him, look, stop weeping. Today is a holy day. Today is a good day. And look at verse number 12. I think this is great. At the end of verse number 12, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. He says, now look, you have the word of God now. God has spoken to your heart. God has given you the truth. Now you have the word of God. You don't have to weep. You don't have to mourn. You have a God that loves you. That's what number 6 is. Number 6, point number 6, the people made God's word their joy. And at the end of verse number 10, what does it say? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were weeping, they were mourning. The Levite says, hey, you don't have to weep. You don't have to mourn. This is a holy day. Something special happened today. God's word was opened and you were receptive and you responded to it. Now go and change. Don't do it again. And Christian, that's the amazing thing. That's the awesome thing is the joy of the Lord can be our strength because of the fact that God loved us. God has saved us. And yes, when the word of God is preached, God speaks our heart. He pricks our heart. As he talked about how he pricked the people's heart in Acts chapter number 2 and how he opened the heart of Lydia this morning and how he did that on the road to Damascus for Paul. You know, we can be excited. We can have joy. The joy of the Lord can be our strength because we're not under the law. We have hope. We have the word of God. We can understand the word of God. And they say, look, you don't have to weep anymore. You can go and you can change your lives. Now, I want you to see that that people made God's word their joy. Now, here's the interesting thought. The Jews who came back from the exile to resettle in Jerusalem and Israel likewise knew little about their faith. But when Ezra read the book of the law and the Levites explained the text, the people listened for hours and the word of God brought a powerful conviction to sin. The Israelites began to weep, but they were told not to shed tears because this was a day of fierce feasting. This was a day of rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. The happiest times I've ever been in my life is when I'm right with God. I mean, let's be honest. You know, when our hearts, as we talked about this morning, they said, don't suffer as evildoers, don't suffer as murderers, don't suffer as this and that. But if you suffer as a Christian or for God's sake, rejoice. Be joyful. Why can you be joyful? Because your heart is right with God. These people had their hearts spoken to and they were touched and they saw their sin. They saw they'd fallen short. And there's like, okay, now you've gotten it right. Now rejoice. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let that be what keeps you going. You have a God that loves you. You have the Word of God that's explained to you. You understood the Word of God. You had the right respect. You've bowed down to God. And now you can live your life according to this. Before you came in, you didn't know this. Now you're leaving. Be excited. You know. Now you can go obey it. And the amazing thing is, you see, in verses 14 through 16, they learned that during the seventh month, there was supposed to be a time of feasting or a time of booths or something like that. And they went and they said, okay, we need to change. The law says we should be doing this and we're not doing this. Let's go get the booths. Let's go get the palm leaves. Let's go get all these leaves and let's do what the laws told us to do. You know what? They got it. They understood it. That's why the Levites and Nehemiah and Ezra are saying, don't be weeping. You can have joy today because you can have a heart that is right with God. And that's where we can have our joy today. The joy of the Lord. It's kind of interesting. Some people say, well, the joy in the Lord. It doesn't say joy in the Lord. It says joy of the Lord is our strength. As He delights in us. He loves us. And because of the fact that we know He loves us and that He delights us because we're the apple of His eye, and when we're right with Him and we can have a right relationship with Him, we know that He's going to protect us and He's going to bless us and that He's going to use us and He has a will for us and He has a purpose for us. We can continue on. That can be our strength because we know God loves us and He cares about us and we know that He's done all these things for us and we know He's never going to leave us and we know He's never going to forsake us. We know how He cares about us. I can keep on going. I can go through that next trial. I can go through that fire because God said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I can continue on doing what is right because the joy of the Lord, the way He looks at me, and the way He does things for me, that can become my strength. Now, I want you to understand, we talk about building and talk about all those different things, but do we hunger for the Word of God? Do we listen to the Word of God on purpose? Do we have a respect of it? Do we have a respect for its author? Do we respond to it when we hear preaching and teaching? Do we let it become our joy? And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about how the commandments of God are grievous to certain people. But if you love God and you keep His commandments, the Bible says His commandments are not grievous unto you. Some people look at the Bible and they disdain it, they hate it, they mock it, they laugh at it. They do this and they do that. They says, I can't believe you got to live this way. I can't believe you can't do this and you can't do that. And you know what? This is our joy. It's that God has said, I want to help you on how to live your life. This is what's best for you. And these commandments, they're not something that's supposed to cause sorrow. They're supposed to say, hey, I can be right with God. Hey, I can please God with my life. I can be built by the book. Tonight, as we see this, and this is a great chapter, next week or whenever, next time we talk about Nehemiah, we're going to probably look at, they go and they rejoice, they are obedient about the following the feast, but it doesn't stop there. Next time, they actually start fasting, and they start having sackcloth and ashes, and they start seeking God at a greater level. Why is that? Because when you get some of God in you, when you get some of God's word in you, you begin hungering it, the word of God will continue to cleanse you. The word of God will continue to build you. The word of God will continue to make you like Jesus Christ. But tonight, let's try to remember to be built by the book. let's make sure that we do have a hunger for the Word of God. And if we don't have it, let's make a commitment to get into the Word of God. Let's make sure we're responding the right way and that we're receptive to it and that we want to understand it. It's not just, okay, I write out Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm done. No, let's listen to what God has for me. Let's come before Him with an open heart. Remember those guys on the road to Emmaus? They were talking about it. They were trying to figure out what was going on. Jesus appears to them and Jesus enlightens them. And they says, didn't our hearts burn? It's burn within us when He spoke to us about the prophets. And when He spoke, you know, there was a burning desire there because, you know, there was truth that was being presented. The Bible, God was opening up their hearts of understanding and they're like, wow, that's the hunger we need to have. We should want to understand the Bible. You turn around and he's like, well, I'll never know as much as so-and-so. I'll never understand as much as so-and-so. I know I've heard a number of people talk about when Brother McBride preaches, I don't know why he can get so deep and get so much out of the scriptures. You know, God has to open those understanding, those enlightenings. Is it because Brother McBride's smarter than the rest of us? Maybe, I don't know. But it's because God gave him those things, right? God can give us the same things if we have a hunger for it, if we have a respect for it, and we respond to it. Let's remember to try to be built by the book. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a